at Voices Radio Network.
Franco is pretty smart, but Franco is a child. And when it comes to the day of the contest, I'm his father. He comes to me for advices. So it's not that hard for me to give him the wrong advices.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to Advices Radio. I'm your host, Scott McNally, and you're listening to part two of The British Invasion. In part one, we had Aaron Hudson and Paul Scarborough. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate your time and your insight and your perspectives about British bodybuilding. It was really cool to talk to both of you. And now, today, we're going to talk to IFBB pro Luke Sando. Luke is a guy that is making waves in IFBB bodybuilding. He's a great representative of the sport, and he's a great representative of what it means to be a hardworking UK bodybuilder. Watching his videos, social media, and talking to him, I get the feeling that Luke loves what he's doing. And that's really the key, isn't it, guys? That if you want to be good at bodybuilding, it has to be something that you're passionate about and that you enjoy. To him, this doesn't seem like a job to me. This just seems like his passion. And you know what? It's pretty cool to see that he gets to do it every day, and he's doing it really well. So guys, let's go to Luke Sando. Let's hear what he has to say. Thank you for listening to the program. Thanks for supporting Advices Radio. And here is part two of The British Invasion. Welcome back to Advices Radio. I'm your host, Scott McNally, and this is part two of what we are calling the British Invasion series. Now, of course, we couldn't do this series without bringing somebody in who is from the UK that has taken their bodybuilding all the way to the pinnacle of what we do, and that's to become an IFBB pro. And who else did I think would be, you know, best guy to have on this show today? Definitely, by far, Luke Sando is one of the most popular names, I think, in the UK right now, and it is my great pleasure to finally have him on the show with us. Luke, thank you for being here with me, man.
Hey, man. Thank you for having me on. What a nice introduction that was. Thanks very much.
I know it's no banjee introduction. I'm not up to snuff that.
I understood what you're saying. That's good. Thank you very much for having me on. Appreciate it.
So Luke's been competing, you know, for what I would call really a short period of time on the high level. I mean, you had competed in the British Championships in 2015, took sixth, came back in 2016, won the super heavyweight and the overall. The first show that Luke went to from there was the Arnold Classic in Columbus, basically the second biggest show. If not, I'd say it rivals the Olympia, and that for being his first show, the Vancouver Pro after that. And then this year is the year that I feel like you've really kind of found your sea legs. This is where I feel like you've really pulled it together. You know, the criticism was maybe he could be harder, maybe he could be tighter in the past, but I think that you're doing that now, and we saw that this year in Australia, and then even more so in Indiana. So congratulations, man. You've been really busting your ass.
Yeah, it's been a really interesting year this year compared to last year. I mean, as you said, I did the Arnold first, which was probably not the most intelligent thing to do. It was my first. I got an email saying, "Do you want to do it?" And you're not gonna turn that down.
Yeah,
that's to me, that was once in a lifetime. I was yes, I'm gonna do it. Yeah. Shouldn't have, and obviously it didn't go according to plan in terms of what I wanted to bring. So I had a real bee in my bonnet. So I wanted to rectify that and sort of show people that I'm not shit. So then I did Vancouver, which was an even stupider idea, because at that point my body was done. I needed to shut it down.
You'd been dieting forever at that point, right?
Yeah, I know, 18 months. So
yeah,
that was just me being stubborn. I shouldn't have done it, but you know, I learned a lot. I certainly learned how hard I could push myself. And I'm pretty happy in myself that I saw it through. I didn't quit. I actually did it. And I even, I tore my hamstring in that prep, but it was ill. You know, all this stuff happened, and I still saw it to the end, for better or worse.
So,
yes, yeah, totally different to how it's been this year.
Yeah. So, coming into 2018, what has been the major change to bring to the stage what we are seeing now?
Well, I mean, like, first of all, I mean, I've started working with Chris Aceto, which again has been something I've wanted to do, well, forever, because, you know, Chris is, I mean, it's not, I don't even think he's arguably he's the best. I just think he is the best.
Yeah.
You know, what he does, I don't think many people can debate that. So I had, after Vancouver, was that June? I think June or July last year. I didn't train for about 6 weeks after that. My body was, I was just like destroyed, mentally, emotionally, physically. So I took a fair amount of time completely off and away from it. And then I came into my off season. I started, I picked it up quite slowly, and I didn't really push myself particularly hard until I got to about October. And then I was like, okay, I feel pretty good now. My muscles come back. My body's quite fresh. I hadn't pushed anything at this point hard at all. And I got up to like 304 pounds, I think I got to.
Mm.
And it was just like, my body was like a sponge. And that's why I got in contact with Chris. And I was expecting him to be like, no, because he just ignores people. He just says no, or he never emails back. So I had a couple of friends who work with him, you know, Fuad worked with him. And Ron Partlow told me that he would put in a good word for me. And
yes.
So I had all these cool guys who I look up to who work with him. Just say, you know, just get in contact with Sasan as well. And they all kind of said, like, Luke wants to work with you. And he just said, okay, get him to email me. And I did. And we just went from there. And I think the main difference, like I said, is previously I just hammered myself into the ground. Like, I pushed my body and my mind as hard as, just way too hard.
Naturally. That's what we do as bodybuilders, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then with Chris, it's just been too easy. Hmm. It's been too easy.
Really?
It's almost like I feel like I should be doing more and feeling worse.
Huh.
And everything's like, just to the point where I start feeling it a little bit, he pulls me straight back.
Interesting.
You know, and I've been dieting now since November, and I feel fine. I don't even feel like I've really been doing anything. I don't really feel too tired. Yeah, I get hungry and a bit sleepy every now and then, but I'm not killing myself. My training's great. I feel good, and I haven't pushed anything, like anything, to the point where it's, you know, too much.
Wow.
So it's worked really, really well. I think that's what my body needs. I think he kind of realizes that. I think when I push myself too hard, my body just rejects everything I throw at it. So I kind of have to let my body do it, you know, not push it too hard. It's weird because, you know, everyone, all bodybuilders say, you know, like, contest prep, you've got to suffer, you've got to do this, you've got to, like, feel like you're going to die, blah, blah, blah. And I just haven't. But I think, you know, maybe it hasn't even been as easy as I'm making out. Maybe I'm just, it feels easy because of how hard it was last year.
Mm.
So the contrast is so different.
I could see that.
So I'm not really too sure what it is, but I'm not complaining because it's been really smooth. It's been great. I think Chris has only started to scratch the surface because he's pushed me a little bit harder the last week or so.
Really?
Yeah, only a little bit. Like, I think I didn't really do much cardio for Australia or Indiana, really.
Okay.
It was like, he'd get me through like 30 minutes. And then the next day, I sent a picture, okay, no cardio today. I sent a picture again, okay, no cardio today. So occasionally I would do like 30 minutes in the evening.
Wow. How often were you sending pics to him?
Pretty much daily. I send them daily.
Okay.
And then, so that's just part of my routine, whether he wants them or not. I just get up in the morning, do my pictures and send them to him.
Okay.
And then the last 4 or 5 days, he's been getting to do 60 minutes in the evening. But it's like a really slow walk.
Huh.
He was like, walk as if you're just dragging your feet. Just really just plod along on the treadmill for 60 minutes.
Interesting.
Yeah. So again, it's not even difficult. You know, you put something on Netflix on and just walk for 60 minutes.
I love that.
Yeah. So that's been pretty good because I think I'm trying to work out how he does things. It's like, I still don't understand like his methods at all.
Yeah.
When I was in Australia, because I was with Jordan Peters, we were there together, and we were trying to like decide, like trying to like preempt what his next move would be.
Right, right.
What's he going to do next? And he kept, it was just different every time. And even Jordan was like, none of this makes any sense. And it just worked. Like, it was just really odd. But it's, you know, when you've got Chris, who's had 30, 35 years experience with the top guys.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I don't think anyone can do a Chris Aceto style contest prep unless you're Chris Nocito.
That's so cool. Yeah, I've been trying to get a hold of Chris. I don't expect him to return my calls, but I want to get him on the show at some point. He's been my he's been my number one coach to interview, and for the reasons you're saying, man, he does just such an amazing job, and it's so unique in the way he works and the way he thinks.
Yeah, I mean, I heard him. He did a podcast with Shelby Starnes, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Yeah,
yeah. So that, I mean, that I learned absolutely nothing from that podcast either. I don't think Shelby did. And then I went to a seminar of his in the UK about 2 years ago with Sean Roden, and I learned nothing. It's really, it's odd. It's like Chris never gives me knowledge. He never tells me why or how it works. He just does things and they work because he knows, because he's done it for so long with hundreds and maybe thousands of bodybuilders over the last 30 years.
Yeah.
So he's definitely got an eye and like an intuition that nobody else has. He can get in tune with your body quite, you know, definitely. Because everyone thinks with Chris, it's all muffins and Five Guys, and it's not.
Right.
You know, like I haven't had a muffin in about 5 months.
So what's the game plan next? Where are you heading from here?
I have California in 5.5 weeks, I think.
5.5 weeks. Okay. And you're feeling good.
I feel great. I feel really good. I mean, I sent out my pictures this morning, and I'm quite surprised of how I'm looking, because I look about the same as I did about 4 days before I flew out to Australia.
Really?
But I'm like 12 or 13 pounds up.
Interesting.
It's really odd. It's like, because I had a week off after Indiana.
Yeah.
Just because I just wanted a rest. And then I just went straight back in. He put my food up pretty high and he's left it there. My weight stayed about the same, but I'm just really full.
That's great.
And getting tighter. So it's he's like, yep, cool. Whereas I'm like freaking out, like, dude, I'm like 13 pounds up. So yeah, it's cool, don't worry.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so, for you, at your size, 13 pounds is more like 5 pounds on my frame.
I mean, wait, because stepping on the scales, I mean, I feel like I'm going to be like 254, 255, and then I was like 264, 265. Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, that's crazy. But,
you know, so, yeah, that, I mean, he's not really fussed. I mean, he knows that my body's a bit strange like that. Like, it's weird. He'll get me to do cardio and zero carbs for 2 days, and I put on 5 pounds.
Really?
Yeah, it's really odd. I think my body just likes growing and just like sucks everything up almost too much.
Yeah.
So and then it's what else? But the other thing that's quite strange is when it came to fill me out for Indiana, I wasn't really getting much fuller. Which was fine, because if I get too full, I just look a bit soft.
Okay.
So even like, so that was one of my consensus from people that were there. Like my training partner Ben was there, even like, because I've worked with Matt Jansen in the past, he was there, and their feedback was like, yeah, I look really good, but I was still a little bit flat for me. But it looked fine because I'm not natural. Me flat is still pretty round.
Okay.
So it's not finding that balance that I think Chris is still trying to find with me. Like, how quickly can I burn body fat without fucking my body up in terms of losing tissue and going flat and soft? It's like a weird balancing act.
Yeah.
He seems to be, but like I said, this is my first prep with him, and he's still learning my body, and every time it gets better. So
that's cool. I feel like you guys are going to have a lot of success together. You know, this is just the start.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I couldn't be happy with how things have gone. I mean, normally at the end of a contest rap, I'm like, thank fuck, it's over. I'm dead.
Yeah.
And this time I'm like, okay, what's the next one? We're going to do next. Well, where are we going next?
That's so cool.
And I haven't craved food. I couldn't give a shit about having a pizza. I'm not really, even after the show, I didn't even eat that much.
Wow.
Even though I was in Indiana with Ben, and I didn't go overboard. It was the first time ever, because I didn't really want to. So it's a nice change, because I think mentally where I'm seeing what I want to see,
yeah,
is so much less stressful. It's more accepting to like dig a bit deeper and want to push harder because I'm seeing what I want to see. Whereas in the past, I'd like hammered myself so hard and I'd wake up the next morning and my pictures would just look shit. And I've gained weight and I look soft, and I'm like, how? I've worked so hard the last couple of days.
Yeah.
So to see what I want to see, and Chris is seeing what he wants to see, it makes a lot of difference mentally.
Hell yeah, absolutely.
And the last thing you want to do is work really hard and not see the results. That's just crushing, I think.
For sure. Hey, listen, something I wanted to ask you about, you know, when I talked to James Hollingshead about training out there in the UK, one of the things that was important to him was the community of guys that he trains with. We talked about how, you know, in itself inherently, bodybuilding is kind of, it's a selfish thing. It's an independent, individual thing. It's something we do on our own. But when we have a community of people that are like-minded, that we can push each other to be our best and to go further than we probably would have otherwise, it sounds to me like you have a really cool group of friends and people that are there around you to support you. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, I think one of the things that's most important is Jordan's website with his Trained by JP. So myself, Sasan, Jordan, James, like we've all been friends for like a few years now. We all talk, we all friends, we all come and go and see each other, train with each other. And Jordan's site started picking up steam. So he was like, why don't we all just do it ourselves? And like he said, I'll bring you on board to the site. We've become like a community and everyone else can join in as well. So I mean, people are seeing that in the terms of us putting content out, but it's just been a really organic sort of thing because we're all just friends. We all like, we all want to see each other do well.
Yeah.
I mean, one thing I do notice about the US is bodybuilding is really bitchy. Yeah. It's really weird. Like, it's like when I'm in the US, like, oh, you never guess, this guy said this about this guy. I'm like, I don't give a fuck, man. I couldn't care less. Like in the UK, nobody fucking cares. We just
That's
get on
great.
With it. And then in like when I come across the US where I see on the message boards or like the forums, I'm like, just people talking shit about each other.
Yeah.
And in England, it's like, if I think somebody's a dick, I'll just tell them.
Yeah, right, right.
You know, and it's as simple as that. And that's why I think we all get along so well, because we're all in this together. We're all doing the same thing. This isn't me. This isn't James. This isn't Sasan. This is British bodybuilding.
Yeah.
And if we're all succeeding, then everyone succeeds, you know?
I love that. That's really cool.
We're all in it, and it's like, and yeah, we all want to beat each other. And I intend to completely crush Sasan in 5 weeks. And he wants to do the same to me. He's not going to. I'm going to beat him. That's on record. But we're friends. And afterwards, no matter what the result is, me and Sasan are going for a massive burger after the show.
Hell yeah!
So James is flying out. James, actually, him and his girlfriend are flying out.
Oh, no kidding!
Come and support Sasan. Yeah, me and Sasan. Obviously, Jordan can't make it because he'll be about 2 weeks out, which is, I don't blame him for not coming. But you know, James is coming out. Sasan will be there. My training partner, Ben, will be there. We'll all be there. Like, and that's what we are. We're a team. Like, we can all rely on each other for support, you know? Like, in my prep, James would just come up and train with me sometimes just to give me that extra push.
Nice.
And I was the same with him in his concert. I would go down and see him at King's, see if he's all good, and just, you know, just go and hang out with him for a few hours. And just, you know, it helps. That was kind of, you know, brings a bit of, like, fun to the whole experience. So, but that's just the difference, I think, in the UK. I think we're a little bit ahead and a little bit behind of the US because... Hmm. I think hardcore bodybuilding in some parts of the world is dying a little bit. But I think a lot of the reason it's dying is because the bodybuilders only have themselves to blame. Hmm. You know? So, oh, he said this and this guy said this. So just shut the fuck up. Just get on with it. What do you want to do? What do you want? Just train, man. If you don't like somebody, just shut up. Just get on with it. Yeah. Like, it's that's what I like about, you know, that's what I like about UK like community of bodybuilding is, yeah, there's people that we think are dicks, but we just don't talk to them.
Sure.
Like, I mean, like if you look at the current crop, but I haven't mentioned Nathan D'Asha once in this conversation.
Okay.
Because he has completely separated himself from British bodybuilding to a certain extent.
Oh really? I didn't know that.
Well, he has. I mean, when do you ever see him in the UK or posting about being from the UK or wishing me well or commenting on James's videos or his pictures or anything?
He's just doing his own thing at this point.
Exactly. That's not a problem at all.
Yeah.
But he's just, because he's at another level. Hmm. He's already made it. He doesn't need us.
Hmm.
You know? And like, and if he wants to come and train with any of us, he's more than welcome. Because I trained with him a couple of times late last year. He's trained with James a few times and we all get along just fine.
Okay.
But it's like, you know, and he's just very much, he's moved to the US. He's doing his own thing. You know, Ricardo Correa, he's from the UK. He's now living in Dubai doing his own thing. So, you know, we've still got us guys in the UK, but we all support each other in our own ways. You know, it's not like we just, you know, it's like if you don't see one of your close friends for years and years and years, you meet up one day and it's as if a day hasn't gone by.
Absolutely.
And that's the same with us. It's like if Nathan like ever wants to come and train with any of us or if he's in the country and we want to see, we'll meet up. Yeah, cool.
That's cool, man.
Which is, you know, I think that's just a British thing as well. And it's like, I've there's all this friendly ribbing going on between Nathan and the guys in New York at the moment, which I think is really funny. But I don't think he would ever aim it at any of us, really. which is because we're all from the same place. We're all like, we're all kind of in it together.
Yeah. When did you discover this community? There had to be a time where you were on your own and you didn't have this. How did this come to be?
I think, honestly, from my point of view, it's kind of always been there.
Yeah.
Jordan and James were kind of the first ones out of us all to train. Because I think James was actually British champion before I even started training.
Okay.
Jordan was already like high up in the bodybuilding community. And kind of when I started competing, I can't remember how, but I got involved with James or Jordan on Facebook, I think. And we just clicked and just became friends. And always, ever since, it's been great. You know, so it's and the community's just growing because we support each other. We've got other people coming in. You know, it's like British bodybuilding is great at the moment. I think it's the best place in the world for bodybuilding at the moment. I mean, we all train like properly. We're all in it together. We all want to see everyone do well. Like, there's more pro qualifiers in this country now. There's three or four this year.
That's great.
We're all putting out content. We're all starting to pick up sponsors from other, like both my main sponsors are based in the US.
Really?
But yeah, like Granite and Iron Rebel, they're from the US.
You shot a bunch of stuff for Iron Rebel yesterday, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. So I'm kind of like, in terms of Granite and Iron Rebel, I'm kind of like one of the main athletes for both brands, and they're based in the US. But it doesn't. I think that's cool because it doesn't matter because social media and is international. It doesn't matter where anyone lives anymore.
Absolutely.
You know, there's no, because if I post a YouTube video up, it gets seen by anyone on the planet that wants to see it.
Yeah.
If I post, anyone in the world can follow my Instagram. Anyone, it doesn't matter anymore. And I think that's the kind of thing that we're realizing over here in the UK is that if we work really hard, that everyone's going to pay attention.
Yeah.
Whereas in the past, it's all been US and no one else really mattered. And there's a lot of talent in this country because, you know, I think we're just still all doing it properly. I still believe that for the most part, us British guys train harder in general. Hmm. And a lot of the guys, because when I was in the US, I went to, I was over in California for the LA Fit Expo.
Yeah,
the Iron
Rebel.
And we went to Metroflex gym.
Okay.
And which is a fucking awesome gym. And it was like, I was blown away by how not heavy anyone was training.
Hmm.
Like we were squatting, and my Fuad obviously goes crazy. He trains really fucking hard.
Oh yeah.
But that he's Fuad. Nobody else is Fuad. And for the most part, like everyone like in there was so busy, and nobody was putting much weight on the bar. It was like really odd. And I was just in the corner squatting, and I went, and like, there was all these like power lifters one side, and then there's another rack.
Yeah.
I think I went up to five or six plates squatting, and I wasn't trying to go heavy.
Yeah.
It like blew everyone's mind that I was squatting six plates.
Huh.
And like, I went to another gym and I was pressing the 200-pound dumbbells, and it blew everyone's mind. And I was like, this is really odd for me because I do this every week. This is normal.
Yeah.
Like in, like James, Jordan, Sasam, we all just train like that every, whether there's a camera there or not.
What's your philosophy on training? What does it take to get big?
You just have to get really fucking strong. And as unsexy as it sounds, like this is something that everyone seems to not want to hear. It's all the very basics that you have to get good at. Like I've said before, if you want to get good at golf, you practice golf a lot. You don't practice table tennis with a rubber band.
Yeah.
You know, which is saying, or like if you want to get good at sprinting, you attach a parachute to your back and run as fast as you fucking can. You don't jog on a treadmill. There's no easy way around training anymore. And everyone's trying to look for, maybe I can get away with this. Maybe I can get away with, you know, if I focus on execution and cues rather than just lifting,
yeah,
I can get away with this. And I just don't believe it. I mean, try and tell Dorian that.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, I mean, this is something I actually wrote a column for Muscular Development the other day, and it was kind of talking about training. And anyone who knows anything about Dorian Yates, when he talks, he's so calculated and methodical, right? So he would break down everything. He wouldn't overthink. He would just break things down to their most basic form. Okay. And see what was the best way that I can train, what was the best way that I can grow and progress.
Hmm.
And the way what he came up with was training really fucking hard with very basic movements every week.
Hmm.
And that was it.
Hmm.
He didn't cut, and that was him being very, very methodical.
Yeah.
And even then, somebody who's that calculated and intelligent still came out with the absolute basics. Scott Stevenson, probably the most clever guy in bodybuilding ever. His fortitude training is basically just train really fucking hard.
Yeah.
There's no way to avoid that. Whether it's, you know, you can't get big training with like fluffy little pink dumbbells or doing banded, sitting in a hamstring machine sideways, attaching to a band on it and squeezing one pec at a time. You can't. It doesn't work. You know, it's just, and I think, I don't know, mate, I just feel like too many people are trying to get away from what everyone does and what people have been doing for 30 or 40 years and trying to make it more sexy and overcomplicated. And, you know, it's not that difficult. It's not difficult in terms of what it is.
Yeah.
It's just difficult to put your body through that amount of stress.
For sure.
Because, and that's, I think people just don't want to work that hard anymore. Which, again, is probably why drug abuse in the sport is so high now.
To try to make up for it, huh?
Yeah, because they don't train hard. So, yeah, of course they're not going to see the results because they're training like fucking pussy. So they have to overcompensate for that by using drugs. Right. And that's why, again, why the physiques in a way across the board aren't quite as good as they used to be. Because, you know, like back in the early 2000s, it was all real muscle earned in the gym.
Yeah.
It wasn't Captain America coming out of a bottle. It was all earned, which is, I think, something that's very prevalent in this country, is we all earn our muscle, you know. And it's like, it's very easy for us to do massive amounts of drugs because it's so easy to get here.
Yeah.
It's like, we can get everything and it's real. It's we can get real gear, GH, Increlex, insulin. We can get everything. We got hands on everything here. Probably easier than we can in Kuwait.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't rely on any of that.
Hmm.
None of us do. We rely on our training. That's the good, that's the fun stuff. You get into bodybuilding because you love the training. So if you don't love the training, you're not putting everything into the training, you're not earning your physique, then you're wasting your time. And that's how you get big. And again, you haven't even touched on food. Nobody wants to eat anymore.
Yeah, I've heard that you're. I heard you're a big eater. You're a guy who can put a lot of food away. Is that right?
Yeah. Probably too much.
Yeah.
That's one. I think that's one of my genetic strengths is my ability to eat food.
Hey, I do believe that ability to eat food is a genetics. You know, believe that genetics relate to that for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, a lot of people don't take that into account when they think genetics. Everyone thinks structure.
Yeah, or, yeah.
Insertions and muscle bellies, and it's like they forget things like, can I eat a ton of protein and does my body digest and assimilate it?
Yeah.
Like, can I, are my joints able to handle the training? All these little things that a good bodybuilder, like, you very, very rarely hear of the genetically good bodybuilders having many health problems with drugs.
Yeah.
Because their body, because A, they don't have to push them that high, and their body just uses them very well.
So give me an example.
So the side effects.
Well, give me an example here. What would be, say, a post-training meal for you? When you're getting carbs and you're in your off season, you're trying to grow.
Oh man! See, I'm not really into the whole peri workout food.
Okay, so you don't eat more necessarily right around training.
I do a little bit. It's more. I just eat maybe 150 grams of carbs every meal.
Okay, and that's across the board every meal.
Yeah, that's pretty much just every meal.
Okay.
I may have extra sugars pre and post.
Okay.
But it's I never lose my appetite, really. If I lose my appetite, something's wrong.
And how much meat would you put in a meal like that?
Well, in the past, with, like, say, I've been working with where I've worked with other people, they might have me having 6 ounces of meat, but with Chris, it's like 10 to 12.
Okay. So that's a big change,
Yeah, and this is something else that I've been kind of thinking about recently in terms of food. It's like there's lots of studies coming out these days, which I'm not saying are wrong. But a lot of studies you may see and hear, like just the, I'm not going to go into any studies, I'm just saying just in general, you hear people say things, oh, your body doesn't need that much protein to grow muscle. And but then again, I find that the bodybuilders that can eat the most amount of protein consistently, digest it well, seem to be the ones who grow the most amount of muscle.
I would agree.
Science is telling you that's not physically possible. You don't need that much protein, yet the guys that are eating more protein without any problems are the ones building the most tissue.
Sometimes I think in those studies, they're referring to like normal people that have normal amounts of muscle.
Absolutely. So why are a lot of bodybuilders and bodybuilding coaches taking that information that isn't really applied to them and running with it and cherry picking what they want to hear out of it?
Yeah, that makes total sense to me.
I don't understand it at all. It's like when I hear a lot of personal trainers talking about oh, well, you know, you're doing it wrong. You should be doing it like this. And I'm like, hang on, you haven't been taught how to build. In school, they teach you how to exercise.
Yeah.
They don't teach you how to build incredible amounts of muscle quickly. They don't teach you that. That's something that's not, you're just taught how to, you're taught how to teach people how to exercise. It's not the same world.
Yeah.
At all. But because some of their studies say this and some of their studies say that, I mean, look at Jordan and Scott. You know, Dr. Scott, I mean, they're two incredible minds in this sport, and they still just eat meat and rice every 2 hours and train really hard.
Yeah.
Because it works. You know, it doesn't need to be much more complicated than that. And that's, I think that's the problem today, as well as the solution. Hmm. So the problem being, everyone wants to think, well, what else can I, what can I get away with? What can science tell me that makes it a little bit easier?
Yeah.
When, you know, for 40 plus years, it's been the same. People with the most muscle are doing the same things. They've always done the same things. They eat the same foods. It's all the same. So why would it not, if it worked then, why would it not work today? You really think if something was like that revolutionary, it wouldn't have come out 10, 15 years ago?
Hmm.
You know, that's sort of the way I look at it.
Do you see any issues happening in the UK specifically that people are running into that they may not be running into in other places of the world? Things that are specific there that are problems?
In what way?
I'm wondering. Like, I know that, well, with the drug availability, I know that like, some guys are using a lot more than they need to. When I was talking to Paul Scarborough, I mentioned that when I first started learning about gear years ago, the UK boards were all very, very conservative. And then some 7 years later, the doses they were using on those same boards were just like through the roof. And these were guys that were just getting started. And I guess...
Where's their information coming from? Because it's not coming from the UK.
Mm. You think that...
So they're probably learning this from the guys in the US.
Okay. So it's a worldwide problem.
I think so. And because maybe the drugs are so easy to get here, they're really inexpensive.
Okay.
People just think, oh, they can get it, so I might as well use it.
I see.
But going back to Paul Scarborough, I've been friends with Paul for years. He's another one that's been incredible to me through my bodybuilding like career. He was one of the first people to ever like, he's always given me advice, always helped me out. He's one of the good guys in this sport. And he, like British bodybuilding does owe a lot to Paul.
He's a cool dude.
He's awesome. He puts so much information out. I mean, it's good information as well, solid information. He's great. He's funny as well. So like, I think more people should listen to Paul than listen to these young guys who are doing a gram of tren in their third cycle.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
You know, and it is crazy the way the sport is going. It's like, when you read some of like this, the cycles Dan Duchesne was prescribing to people sort of 20 years ago, or even maybe longer, they weren't crazy at all compared to nowadays. But back then they were like, oh, this is mental. We're pushing the boat now.
Yeah.
And it's like, but that's always been my sort of thinking when it comes to drugs. I've got this far without abusing anything.
Yeah.
And I think that's, genetics. But it's also just because my training is the most important thing to me. My ability to eat and my ability to train hard is what's got me to where I am, based on what my genetics allow. And the drugs kind of just make all that stuff work better.
Sure.
And that's the way it should be. But then, you know, unfortunately these days people think it all just comes out of a bottle.
So tell me what a day in the life is like for you over there. I mean, you're like I said, one of the most successful pros that are out there in the UK right now. Luke Sando, you wake up in the morning. What do you do from there?
Okay, I actually still get up pretty early. I get up about 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, which is pretty early for me because I go to bed about 1 a.m. So I wake up. I normally go downstairs. I take my pictures for Chris. I take my pictures. I send them across. I will have all my morning supplements in the morning. I will have my breakfast, and then I will sit on my laptop for about 3 hours answering emails because I work. I have a lot of clients in this country. Actually, most of them are in this country, so I work with people quite closely.
Okay.
I wouldn't say it is coaching, but I'm kind of don't really like to use that word anymore.
Okay.
Because it's been a bit overused.
Oh yeah.
I can't think of a better word. So yeah, I coach people. So then I do some emails. I also do one-to-one training, which is normally I do sort of in the morning to early afternoon. I'll have clients maybe 2 or 3 because I'm quite restricted in my timings now.
Yeah.
And then I'll probably eat a couple of meals during the time on my laptop, and then I will go and train after my client work. I will train in the evenings, and I'll come home and do more work on the computer. and then eat my more meals, go out to cardio, come home, do some more, probably start to wind down for the day, and then go to bed.
Nice. What
and that's like a really basic day if I have nothing else to do, which is quite rare, because normally I have to do like errands, I have to run around, I have two children as well.
You've got a dog too, right?
I have got a dog, yeah. I share him with my ex-girlfriend, we share him.
Do you do cardio out walking with him ever?
No, because he always fucking stops and pisses on everything. So, I can't. So for me to do an hour's cardio, I probably only done about 10 minutes of walking. Someone was like, come on. Yeah. And he was like, I still go out. I mean, I go out for walks with him. I mean, he loves a walk. So, and I'm quite lucky because I live in a fairly sort of rural area.
Okay.
So I've got lots of like lakes and fields and ponds and things near me. Oh, nice. So it's very good for walking the dog around here, which is nice.
That's nice.
But yeah, my days is pretty much all encompassed into bodybuilding and my meal timings, and you know, I try to work as hard as I can and stay busy with everything. So
yeah, you know, that's pretty cool, man. You're lucky to have that lifestyle that you've worked hard to set it up, though. You know, you've worked hard to set it up.
I mean, I've actually like I've made a ton of sacrifices that people don't realize. I mean, they only see what they want to see.
Yeah.
You know, there's a reason why I'm not with my son's mother anymore because of bodybuilding, and I'm not gonna sit and pretend it's not the case. You know, it's the big elephant in the room for a lot of people, but it was because bodybuilding ruined that for us. There's nothing to be sorry about now, because you know, I always kind of believe it will all work out in the end. If it hasn't, it's because it's not the end. And everything's great. So she's one of my closest friends, and he's great. And I'm able to support them both, you know, financially and with my time, because that's the way my life is set up now. So in a way, it's worked out for the best. You know, it's been a lot of shit. Like, I mean, like when I first was bodybuilding, I've had full-time jobs. I was working two jobs at one point. I had to do my qualifications to learn how to become a trainer. I was still like for 4 or 5 years ago when I was getting into the sport, because I had a lot of muscle quickly, people were asking me to coach them, and I didn't charge any money for about 2 years because I thought I didn't really know enough yet. So I still worked with people for free for a couple of years.
That's very generous of you.
Just because I thought I'm not going to charge for it until I know I'm good.
Yeah.
And now, because I believe in my abilities now, I can help people. But the and you know, so it's all. There's been a lot. You know, I do work hard. I mean, like yesterday, I did a whole day of filming around my training. Everything was all, you know, it sounds like, oh, how it's not really work, though, is it, because you're filming? But it's still a whole day's worth of essentially work. You know, it's just not, I'm just not sitting in an office.
No, yeah, you have the camera on you. You've got to be on. You're supposed to be doing stuff. I hear you, man. That stuff will wear you out after a while.
Oh, yeah, and it's like, that's the thing these days. It's like, yeah, maybe 25 years ago or 20 years ago, bodybuilders would just get a contract and they would get paid, say, $150,000 a year and just do nothing.
Right.
They just have to eat and train. These days, we don't get that much money. And if you want money from sponsors, you need to earn it. So any time that anyone at Granite or Iron Rebel asks me to do anything, I just say, yeah, no
problem.
That's
awesome.
Even if it's a huge inconvenience, I'll just do it because it's my job.
That right there, that's the UK work ethic right there.
And I'm so lucky to have it. Like, I've done a lot of traveling this year during my contest prep, and I've stayed on everything. And it's like, I'm never going to complain about being flown out to California for a week to do filming and photo shoots, work on an expo in the middle of a contest prep, because I'm getting paid for it.
Yeah.
This is my job. It's like, I can never complain about any of this stuff. So when I hear pros complain that they have to do an appearance or they have to do a photo shoot, and oh, this is bullshit. I'm like, fuck yourself. You're getting paid to do what so many of us want to do, and you're getting paid for it.
Yeah.
So I don't take any of it for granted. I mean, I'll like anything that's needed of me, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And it's because it's like, I'm in a very, very, very fortunate position, especially now, obviously with the whole Train by JP thing. We put out 3-4 videos of training each a month. We do a ton of content. That's work. It takes a lot of time and effort to put these videos together. And I love it. It's amazing. And it's like, I would much rather do this than any other job in the world.
Hell yeah.
So, you know, I don't really like to complain. It's like when people, like if I'm really tired in a contest prep, like when people say, how do you feel? I'm like, yeah, good. Even if I feel shit, I'm not going to moan and say, oh, I feel like shit. This is bullshit. I have to go home and eat 6 solid meals a day. This is bullshit. You know, it's like there's people out there that don't even eat 6 solid meals a week. And when people complain, when people complain that they've got to get up and do cardio in the morning and they're grinding, it's like, just fuck off. You're walking on a treadmill. It's not grinding.
Right.
Like, at least you can walk. You know? At least you have the luxury of being able to afford to go and do your cardio in the morning. What are you complaining at?
Right.
And it's like, I think this is just, maybe it's a British thing, I don't know, but we just get on with it. We and if any opportunity I have, I'm going to take it. Because that's, to me, that's the wise thing to do. I mean, this bodybuilding career isn't going to last forever. It's not. I could injure myself today and that's game over. So I want to make the most of it, every opportunity I'm given, and work, because, you know, a lot of pros and a lot of bodybuilders who don't have contracts, just all they do is fucking complain.
Yeah.
Because they don't, I can't get a contract. And it's like, yeah, do you know why? Because you're boring and lazy. Mm. You do nothing. You're just expected to get paid to train and eat. It's not the 1990s.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to work, you've got to earn your money. And the more work you put in, the more you're going to get.
I love that. That's so true, too.
Yeah, it is. I mean, like, and I understand that the days of getting paid for being awesome are over. It doesn't bother me. I'll just... You know, I'm in a very fortunate position. Like, everyone told me when I was coming up through the amateur ranks, they're like, you know, yeah, you can turn pro, but you'll never earn any money out of it. You'll never make a living. You know, especially being from the UK, nobody will touch you because you're from the UK. And I was like, yeah, okay, we'll see about that.
Yeah.
And you know, now I'm in a position where, you know, I can support my family, I have my own house. You know, I'm doing okay, and this is all because of bodybuilding, and it's And I've worked exceptionally hard across everything, and I want to work harder. You know, it's like if somebody offers me a contract, they're like, I have to make sure that I can live up to what they want.
Yeah.
So like when Jordan approached me about the site, I was like, you sure? Because I want to be worth it for you. Like, yeah. I don't want to be part of the site if I can't earn the site more money. It's not, I don't want to do it. And Jordan was like, no, trust me, this is, we want you because this is, you know, because we all work hard. And again, the Train by JMP is a community that's growing. Because we all put the work in, all of us do.
Yeah, he put something together really cool with that.
He has a lot. And I think his plans for it, from what my understanding is, he wants to expand it. He wants it to be like the next kind of muscular development in a way. So yeah, he wants to expand and have other pros from different countries on board. And they all have their own sections and segments and videos. And as it grows, I mean, and for what it cost, was it $10 a month?
Yes, that's it.
And you're getting pros who put out just, we interact with everyone on there. I ask questions daily on the forums. We put out videos all the time. We answer questions. We all help each other. And it is a solid community for like $10 a month. Like, that's like 2 days worth of Starbucks for some people.
Right, right.
You know, the magazine and a Starbucks. You know, that's how much $10 is.
Hey, yeah.
So it's,
how far are you from King's Gym?
About 45 minutes.
45 minutes. So do you get out there and train with James often?
I do, but he's too strong.
Oh, yeah.
He's too strong now. I know I'll get hurt. I'll try and keep up with him and get hurt.
Really? You're serious? He's stronger than you now?
He is now, yeah. Have you seen what he's been doing? Like, it's like, I know I can, I've done, everything he's lifting now, I've already done.
Okay.
And I don't need to do it anymore, but I know my stubbornness will make, I'll still try and I know I'll get hurt.
I've seen him putting on so much size this last year. How does that make you feel as his friend to see him doing that?
I just love it because I've been wanting James to do this for fucking years. And he's so for a lot, because me and Jordan have always done DC training, which is how we put on muscle really quickly.
Yeah.
And James, for like 4 years in a row, would ask me, so how are you training? Why are you putting muscle on so quickly? And I'll tell him, oh, okay, cool. And I'd never do the training. And then last year, he finally hired Jordan, where they were friends of anyway. And, Jordan set up his training pretty much the way I've been, and myself and Jordan have been training for the last few years, and James has just blown up.
That's so cool.
You know, because it works, you know, and that's why, and he, I think James used to dabble in strongman when he first started as well.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So he's naturally strong. Yeah, he's naturally very strong.
Interesting.
So he's played to all of his strengths. So my bodybuilding is like, I've done all that now. You know, I've deadlifted 9 plates, I've squatted 7, 8 plates, I've done all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I've walked away unscathed, and now I need to keep it that way because it's not just myself. I'm not doing this just for fun anymore.
Yeah.
So my training style has changed, and even Jordan, who's so kind of, you'd have to train heavy. Even he's told me, you know, you don't need to do that anymore.
Hmm. Interesting.
You know, and it's like, it's not about just trying to be a freak powerlifter, strong guy in the gym anymore. I can still do all that stuff. I just don't need to. So I don't need to. I'm just not going to do it because it's not. I'm not going to. I don't want to tear something and then be out of the game.
So how do you get away with training just as hard but not pushing it to that level?
Well, I've actually John Meadows was really kind enough to send me his newest training program, his Gamma Bomb, the other day, and I've been doing that for the last 2 weeks, and it's fucking hard. It's really hard because it's just more volume. Wow. And people think like John's training is all lightweight pump stuff. It's not at all.
No,
it's all heavy. You just do more work.
Yeah.
And because you do more work, because I'm like James. I just warm up as little as possible to one all out max effort lower rep set.
Mm-hmm.
And my body's so used to it, it's just easy. No, it's not difficult for me to push a set that hard. But to do like the set similar intensity for lots of sets.
That's where it gets
in, in a different sequence, so my joints feel fresher.
Yeah.
It's killed me.
Nice.
And it's like, but it's a totally different thing. It's like I think I filmed chess yesterday, and it was so the first movement was just flat dumbbell press.
Okay.
And it was just keep doing 8 reps until you get up to a set where you hit 8 reps to failure.
Okay.
And then you do a drop set with that from that set.
Hmm.
And that's super simple, and it was really heavy.
Yeah.
And then the next set was do sets of 6, moving up in weight on an incline barbell until you can't do 6 reps anymore. That's really heavy. But because of the way you're doing 6 or 8 reps all the way up, you get massively pumped and fatigued before I'd normally get to that work set. So I've actually increased my volume working up to a work set.
Oh yeah.
And the way John sequences the movements, I was so blown up by the time I got to incline barbell. The weight was slightly reduced, but I got so much out of it.
That's so cool.
So I think it's just the, you know, it's, and the similar thing with the training is, no matter what style of training I do or anyone does, they have to work hard.
Hmm.
I don't know what it is, whether you're doing one set or 25 sets, you still have to work as hard as you can in those sets. And it's like legs. I did one of his leg sessions the other day. Like, so obviously he always starts with a leg curl. It was like some brutal, like leg curl with 4 reps, partials,
yeah,
iso hold, drop set, and I was
it's not just a warm up, right?
No, and then it was leg press, and it was like sets of 8 until you can barely do 8 anymore.
Yeah,
and that was really hard. But I mean, this leg press was full by the time I got to my last set, and about 4 sets leading up to that were really difficult.
Wow,
and they weren't quite to failure, so I kept having to go up. So by the time I'd done all that, my legs were, I'd used a ton of weight for a ton of reps, and my legs were blown up. My knees felt great.
Awesome.
And then the next movement was squats, and front squat and squat superset. So he said in his details, because it's so well written out, it was like, you won't be able to use much weight here. Your legs will be like blown up. And I was like, okay. So I'm used to squatting 5, 6, 7 plates. So like, this will be easy. Not a problem. Not a problem. So a set of 10 front squats straight into a set of 10 back squats.
yeah.
And I did all 4 sets of 2 plates. And by the fourth round, I could barely squat 2 plates.
Wow.
My legs were so blown up.
Wow.
And they've been sore for like 3 days. I never get that.
And so you're working just as hard, but you're not using nearly as much weight. You're getting just out of it.
Exactly.
You know?
But in a way, it's kind of like, if you look at it in a way of like tension on the muscle, I'm using a lot more weight on the muscle because I'm doing more reps for more sets. So the total volume of load on the muscle is way higher.
I like it.
But just because I'm not doing as much weight in one particular set, I'm still putting more load on the muscle than I probably would have been doing before.
I like it. And your knees are going to stay safe. Your back is going to stay safe.
Yeah, exactly. And so that was very kind of John to send me his training, because he's very supportive, and he's obviously he wants me to stay around for a long time.
That's cool.
And he's been great. And this, you know, so to have that support from someone like John, who I've looked up to for a long time, and I've always loved the look of his training.
Yeah.
I just haven't done it before because I've been still just getting the most I can out of my way of training.
Sure.
You know, and then you look going back to Dorian, he trained that way and he got so injured.
Yeah.
He probably could have gone on and done 2 more Olympias had he not got injured. He probably knows that himself.
Right.
And it's like, I'm getting to the point now where I just don't need to be doing these insane weights anymore to get to improve. Because it's not about putting mass on. It's about just making my physique better.
Yeah.
So I've done all that. My days of putting 10 pounds of tissue on in a year is over.
And
it's all about.
And you don't need to. It's about, so.
No, exactly. So why would I need to, why do I need to like risk? So I have to kind of weigh out the pros and cons, really. Do I really need to push stupid weight for one all-out set, or can I get away with using slightly less but working just as hard for more sets?
I imagine this new training, using John's templates and stuff, that I have to think that those workouts take a little bit longer. What length of time did it take to do that leg workout?
About an hour and a half.
Okay, so you still got through it pretty quick then.
Yeah, I blasted through it pretty quick, yeah.
Yeah, that's not a lot of rest.
Because I was on my own as well, and I was just blasting through it. And like, I think it's going to get me in shape pretty quick, like quicker as well, because my appetite since doing it's shot through the roof.
Okay.
Because I think the expenditure's a lot higher. But yeah, like everyone's like, I'm still training heavy. Like the chest is loaded yesterday. I still went up to like 180 pound dumbbell press.
Okay.
So it's still pretty heavy.
Yeah.
So it's not like I'm slacking off on the load. I'm just not going to 200 pound dumbbells because I don't need to.
I see.
Well, I probably still would have if my elbow was bothering me. But the so like John still wants me to train as heavy as I can within sort of the parameters of his training philosophies.
Now I've heard Chris Aceto tell people at different times, "Hey, today I want you to back off on your training by 20%." Does he ever say anything like that to you?
Yeah, he just says go through the motions today.
Okay.
Or he'll just tell me to have the day off, or he'll just pull cardio out and put some more food in.
And I take it he's saying that because he sees your physique looks a little tired, it needs a little rest or something.
Yeah, like, it's funny, actually. For me to hear a lot of feedback about my physique from him, I have to listen to Heavy Muscle Radio. Because he's talked about me a couple of times on there. Because he never says anything to me in person, like, oh, you've got a weird body. Like, and I've heard him say on Heavy Muscle Radio, like, if he pushes me really hard, like, I don't ever like to complain that I'm flat, because it's such a bodybuilder thing to say.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, Chris, I'm a bit flat. And he'll be like, oh, okay. He'll probably roll in his eyes. And then look at my pictures and he'll say, oh, he's like half the size he was yesterday.
Yes.
And he says, if he pushes my body, I just get worse if I get pushed too hard.
Yeah.
Like, so it's like a real, so to hear him say all these things that I've always kind of known about myself is quite reassuring, because I think he's on the same wavelength.
That's funny that you're hearing it through the radio show.
Yeah. Or like, when I was in Indiana with Ben, we went and had some food with Guy Sestanino. And Guy's obviously very close with Chris. And Chris was saying that my body's really fucking weird.
Yeah?
Like, he put Clennon T3 in for like 3 days and I put on weight.
Really?
So Chris was like, what the fuck? Did you pull out again? So my body's pretty unusual. But he's getting to grips with it. I mean, my food's higher now than it has been the whole prep, and I'm getting tighter. And I kind of feel like a lot of that might be to do with the training.
Yeah. I could see
I'm torching through all the food more because the training's, it's hard, but it's a different type of hard.
Yeah.
Like my CNS isn't destroyed, but my muscle is.
Well, just to try to tie this whole show up here, and I'm just going to put you on the spot here. What, and we've kind of already covered it, I think, but I'm going to try to do it again. What is so great about being in the UK, being a UK bodybuilder, being a UK pro, in training over there? What is it over there that's so special?
Well, we're all under the Dorian Yates is called the shadow.
Yeah.
And I think the reason that still stands these days is we are all in his shadow. we have a very no bullshit, stop fucking about and being a baby and just get on with it approach here. You know, we just train really hard and just go home and just don't really. It's just, I don't know, it's hard to put my finger on. It's like, we're just not pussies over here when it comes to anything. Like, we don't really, I don't know, we don't really bitch and complain as much. The gyms in my area especially are fucking amazing as well. Like, within about half an hour of my house, I have really some 4 or 5 of the best gyms in the country.
Wow, that's awesome.
They're all huge warehouse style gyms. So that's why I moved to this part of the country.
That's great. And,
you know, so I think, you know, just like, even just think, okay, so like the fact that we're all British is something, because I think we're just a little bit different over here. I didn't really realize that until I've traveled around the world a little bit more, how different British people are.
Yeah.
You know, just everything, like, from how good the gyms are. The food is good in this country because it's all, like, we don't have really shitty food here. Like, the quality of food's good. Because all, like, where I live now is all farmlands. So there's tons of good food, or, like, meat quality around here. So our food's good. Like, we have access to any drug you could want. So we don't need to take the piss and push everything too hard. The gyms are great. We're all a close knit kind of family unit when it comes to like all the bodybuilders.
Yeah.
We're all friends, and it's like, it's just a community here that's I'm very, very, very proud and very happy to be a part of, you know. And I think UK bodybuilding is only really finding its legs now. I wouldn't be surprised within the next 2 to 3 years, there'll be 3 British guys in the top 10 of the Olympia.
Hmm.
You know, I think you're going to see that. I think you're going to see me, Nathan, and Sasan all in that top 10.
I could see it, man.
And it's like, and that's not even me blowing my own trumpet. I just think it's kind of inevitable because we're all improving so quickly.
Yeah.
You know, Sasan's looking crazy. Nathan's already there. I'm getting better. And I mean, as of this year, it's given me a huge confidence boost in terms of what I believe I can achieve.
Hell yeah. As it should, man.
Yeah. And it's like, and it's really exciting. And it's, you know, and like I said, the world's a much smaller place these days because of social media.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can be in California this afternoon. If I went into the airport now and jumped on a flight, I could be there this evening.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You know, it's pretty easy to get around, you know. If I want to phone someone, like I'm on the phone to you now, you're in the US, social media has made the world so small, it doesn't matter where we live. It's like people always say to me, oh, would you ever move to the US? Like, no, why the fuck would I? I don't need to. My home's here. This is where I live. I don't need to move to the US anymore. Like, if I'm needed out there, I can just jump on a flight.
Yeah.
And it's very cool. I think it's a different world now than it was a few years ago, for better or worse. You know, and there are pros and cons to the way social media and bodybuilding is. A lot of people think bodybuilding is dying, and I believe those people are completely wrong because they're not in the UK. Try telling that to us. Mm. You know, it's not the way we see it, and it's not the way I see it because I've been in Indiana. I was in Australia, and the bodybuilding was a huge buzz around all the bodybuilding at both those events, especially Australia.
Hell yeah.
You know, I think maybe just in the US, they're being a bit, maybe some of the guys there are very bitter about things. I don't know, but it's certainly not dying. I mean, the Arnold's getting bigger every year still. It's like, I mean, I also actually think going back to the Arnold this year, everyone's been really excited about Classic Physique and it's going to be the future. And all I heard from the Arnold was like, the Classic Physique was really underwhelming and borderline embarrassing for the most part, apart from the top 6. And everyone was just talking about, when's the bodybuilding on? I want to see the bodybuilding. When's the men's open on? Yeah. And the main event was still the main event, like well and truly the main event. And same with the Olympia. Yeah. I don't think it's going anywhere. I think maybe we're just in that transition point now where a lot of the veterans are on their way out. You know?
Yeah.
There's some guys like Ruli and Bonek that have been sort of close to the very top that are now taking over the top guys. And now you have people who are coming up the ranks. So I think you're going to see a shift in talent the next couple of years, which again is exciting. And I think the physiques are different. I don't think you don't really get the bloated kind of bubblegut mass monsters that you were getting a few years ago either. I think bodybuilding is going a little bit more aesthetic again. People are thinking about physiques rather than mass a little bit more. And I think maybe that is to do with Classic Physique. I'm not sure.
I agree. But I see it looking better.
And if you notice as well, when men's physique came around, everyone was like, oh, men's physique is going to ruin bodybuilding. Bodybuilding is going to die. Men's physique is going to be huge. Men's physique is nowhere near what it was 2 years ago. It's like, it's kind of falling off the radar a little bit.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that?
Well, I know that nobody's gonna go to the Arnold to see the men's physique guys.
Well, it's not even that. Like, there doesn't seem to be as many people doing men's physique, especially in this country, that there was 4 or 5 years ago. There's this huge like boom, and it was like a flash in the pan.
Hmm.
And now everyone wants to do Classic Physique.
Yeah, yeah, they do.
And what do you think is going to happen to these Classic Physique guys? Oh, I want to do bodybuilding.
Hmm. I can hope.
In 5 years' time, yeah. I mean, I have no doubt in my mind that in 5-6 years' time, the open bodybuilding is going to be a little bit more like it was in the early 2000s. You're going to see a more aesthetic, bigger guys that aren't just blown out monsters.
That would be a good thing, man. That would be a great thing for us.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen because, you know, you just got to look at the way the sport's going and what's being rewarded, you know?
Yeah.
Nobody's winning on just size anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's and the Classic Physique. The one thing I think about Classic Physique is kind of off topic, is I think Classic Physique's again a little bit of a flash in the pan, only because where there's a height and a weight limit for the division, people think that if they're in that limit, they are Classic Physique. Whereas I would say 95% of people who compete in classic physique are just shit bodybuilders.
Yeah.
They don't, like, not, like, so you get the top six, I was like, Breon Ainsley and Chris Bumstead, like, even like Santi Aragon and all these guys, they look like classic bodybuilders. Everyone else just look like amateurs. They don't have the structure. So it's very much a structural thing. Like, to me, Arash Rabar has absolutely no place in that division. I don't think he, I mean, I don't know whether you agree. When you look at him versus Bumstead, to me, Arash Rabar just looks like a small bodybuilder. Chris Bumstead looks like a classic physique.
Yeah, Bumstead, I mean, he definitely embodies more of the look that I think that they're going to want.
Absolutely, whereas Arash Rabar just looks like he needs 25 pounds of muscle and he could be an open guy. He just fits in the class because of his weight.
Yeah, I think it is. It's down to structure, and I think there's going to be Absolutely. There's going to be a lot of guys that really should just gain more muscle.
It's like you're never going to see a guy doing the 212 when he's 5'10" just because he weighs 212. You're not going to fit in that class.
Right, right.
You're just not big enough. So that's a potentially a good thing, because even in this country, a few guys have done classic physique the last few months, and they've realized they're just not good. They just don't fit the criteria. They may fit in terms of on paper the weight and the height, but their physiques don't fit. Yeah. So they have to reevaluate. So I think you're going to see the quality of classic physique get better, and all the other guys that don't quite fit are either going to have to just not do it, do really badly, or move up. So that's I mean, there's lots of ways it could pan out, but for the most part, what I am seeing is people are giving a shit less and less about men's physique. That's now shifted to classic physique. So it's already gone up a notch already.
Yeah, yeah.
And bodybuilding hasn't gone anywhere this whole time. If anything, it's getting better again.
I agree.
So yeah, it's certainly had its lull, but it's going to come back. I mean, this might be wishful thinking from me, but I just think the sport's going to have a bit more of a resurgence.
I agree. And I'd like to see that happen too, man. I'd love to see that happen.
I mean, it's not going to, the Olympia, the Arnold, these pro shows, they're not going anywhere. They're still the main events. Like, nobody goes to watch the Olympia for the classic physique, and they never will.
And it's going to be guys like you, guys like Sasan that are pushing it there, guys that have a good shape. That's what it's going to take, and lots of muscle.
Exactly. And it's like, yeah, you want to see a freak, but you don't want to be grossed out by what somebody looks like. When you see a good physique that's got a lot of muscle, it's incredibly impressive. When you see a bloated, like, freak, everyone's a bit like, oh, that looks a bit fucked up.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like seeing a two-headed cow or something.
Well, listen, we're out of time here. Do you have any of your sponsors that you'd like to plug, and anybody else that you'd like to mention?
Yeah, I've pretty much mentioned everyone. You know, I'm very fortunate to be with Granite Supplements, John's company, and Ed Koo. They're both obviously heavily involved with I Am Rebel as well. I've had a lot of help this year from my shows, from Protan and Atomics Shoes have been great for me as well. So, I do have a lot of help and support, even just down to Iron Monkey Wear, supplying my posing trunks. I've just had a lot of help, and I don't take any of it for granted, and I'm extremely lucky, very fortunate, and I just want to make sure that anyone who helps me in that way, I want to make sure it's worth it for them as well.
That's cool.
Because, anything worth having in this life, I don't believe comes free, in terms of, like, you have to still kind of pay it back in a way. So as long as I'm paying it forward and paying it back in any way that I can, then it's all good as far as I'm concerned.
I like that attitude, man.
Yeah.
We've got Trained by JP as well, we already mentioned. You can be seen.
I've seen this whole episode. Jordan gets too much airtime. Everyone talks about Jordan too much. Everyone talks about his website way too much.
Trained by JP. And let's not forget the size game.
Oh, yeah, the size game. We actually recorded an episode last night.
So nice, nice.
We had another UK pro on, Samson Dowder.
Okay.
He's very cool. He's one to watch. He's still very new. He's one to watch the next couple of years. He's an absolute master poser. He's like a Sean Ray. So
nice. Was
he's
a
very cool guy.
Was Banji and James both on the show with you?
Oh, yeah. It was all four of us. And then Samson was our guest. And Banji was on top form, as usual.
Perfect, perfect. I like when you guys have the trifecta and you're all three there. It makes for such an awesome show.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why Banji, every episode, has to talk about his balls. Every episode, he has to bring up his balls. Like, last night, it was like, my balls are back. We didn't ask him. He just told us. He was like, I didn't ask, mate, but thanks.
Well, guys, you'll have to tune in to The Size Game. You can check that out at, is it thesizegame.com?
You know what? I don't even know. Do we have a website?
You do have a website, but regardless, you can go to The Size Game on iTunes. You'll find it
you just Google The Size Game Podcast and you'll find it. It's on it. We're on Instagram as The Size Game Podcast. You follow myself. It's just my name. And you've got James and Banji. We're all on there. If you want to follow anything we do, listen to the podcast.
And I'll be sure to have all your contact information up when I put this post out, and you'll be tagged. So guys, definitely check out everything that Luke is up to. Luke, thank you so much for your time, man. This is so great.
No, thank you.
Finally, I got a chance to talk to you. I had talked to the other guys from The Size Game, and now I got the trifecta.
That's it. Well, thank you very much for having me on. I appreciate it. I'm a big fan of all the podcasts. You keep me going for all my cardio and my long driving journeys and flights. So thank you for everything you do as well.
Awesome.
It's great to, you're keeping us all well-informed, educated, and entertained. So yourself and obviously the Bodybuilding Nerds as well. Listen to that every week.
Oh, nice.
So thank you very much for that as well.
Well, that makes my day, man. That makes my day.
Yeah, podcasts are great. You know, they help everyone out. Like, nobody wants to do cardio with nothing to listen to. So right? I appreciate it. That's it. Well, thank you very much.
All right, guys. For Advices Radio, I'm Scott McNally with Luke Sando, IFBB Pro.
Yep. See you later. It's walking into a dream.
Radio.